Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that even though you are so great, you speak to us, you know our needs. We thank you that you've given us your word. Thank you that you can speak in such a way that the youngest child can understand. And it's also a word for the cleverest person. Help us as we look at your word now. Amen.
Amen.
I think very often we feel as if we are in the darkness. There are things going on, and we feel we don't know what's happening. We're struggling with something. We can't see things clearly. Sometimes it's a question of health, family issues. Things are so terrible, we don't know what to do. Sometimes it's other people who are making things difficult for us. Whether at work or whatever situation we're in, they seem to be against us and they're making life difficult and it seems dark. Or maybe we look around the world and we see that it's a place that is troubled and fractured. There's so many terrible things happening in our world, and just in the last few days, those people killed in Tunisia, in Kuwait, in France. And we look at our world and it seems such a dark place. Maybe our problem is with God. What's he doing? Why is he not doing anything? And so it seems to be dark. And that's where Habakkuk is such a wonderful fellow pilgrim. Because these were questions that he faced. It seems as if everything was dark. And he wasn't sure what God was doing. He didn't think God was doing anything. And he was living in a time when the empire, the Babylonians, were ruthless and violent. And in the midst of all this darkness, there are two realities that Habakkuk sees that are like lights shining in the darkness, so that he can see it the way ahead. The first reality is the certainty of judgment. And so Habakkuk sees that his own people will be judged, because that's been his concern. He's looked at the people of Judah, and he's seen how far away they've wandered from God's word, and the way they've been treating each other. And he says, "Why aren't you doing anything, God?" And God says, "I'm going to bring judgment on them." And then he shows how judgment is coming on the people of Babylon. They are the instruments of judgment, but God is going to bring judgment on them. And we were looking at that last week. But the second reality is what we're looking at today. The assurance of God's rule. God is in charge. And we need to get that into our thinking. God is in charge, no matter what's happening in my life, no matter what's happening in our world, God is ruling. And one of the great messages of the Bible is that God rules over his creation. If you look at the end of Job, Job has been struggling with what's happening in his life, his suffering, terrible suffering. And we come to the end of Job, and God, it's as if he gives him a picture of creation. And at the end of Job, Job says, "I've been talking about things I didn't understand." And he is in a place of trusting God. Or you read Isaiah 40, where it's as if God takes Isaiah and look at the heavens, look at the nations. They're like a drop in the bucket. They're like a grain of sand on my hand. I'm the one who created everything. God is the God who rules over his creation. Or at the end of Romans 11, where Paul has been talking about the wonderful things that God has done in salvation. And he just bursts out into praise. "You're so much wiser. Who can fathom your wisdom? Who can understand all your ways?" Well, let's read together from Habakkuk chapter 2. verse 14 and 20. We were looking last week at chapter 2 and the judgment that was coming on Babylon. And in the midst of that judgment are these two wonderful verses that give us assurance. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And so the two things we want to look at today, first of all, the reality of God's rule now, and secondly, the assurance of God's rule then. First of all, the reality of God's rule now. And the picture here is of God in his temple, and the whole earth is silent before him. We need to see here, first of all, that God speaks. And when God speaks, we need to listen to his voice. And there's a contrast between the dumb idols and the God who speaks. If you look at chapter 2, verse 18, it says, he makes a person who creates idols, he makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. So here is what the people were trusting in, the Babylonians and other nations, creating their idols, and the idols couldn't speak. They couldn't predict the future. They couldn't bring help to the people. They were lifeless. But God is a God who speaks. And we live in a world where there are many voices that call out to us, that try and explain what's going on in our world, try and tell us how we should live. This is how you should live. This is the best way to live. And the voices are coming through the radio and television, through our friends, all sorts of ways in which those voices are coming to us. This is what you should do. And we need, if we are Christians, we need to shut out those voices and say, no, I'm going to hear what God says. God is in his temple. Let the whole earth be silent before him. In a way, that's why we come on a Sunday morning. We want to shut out all the other voices, and we want to hear from God. That's what we should do as we pick up the Bible each day to read it. I want to shut out all these other voices, and I want to hear what God says. Just being silent and hearing God speak to us. And one of the things he says to us is that he rules. And so God rules. And the temple was a symbol of God's throne. So if you read Psalm 11 and verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. So the picture in the Old Testament of the temple, the tabernacle, was a picture of God's throne. It was like a copy of the throne in heaven. This is where God lives among the people of earth, from his throne. And so he was to rule over his people. And so when they made the tabernacle and they built the temple, in the middle of it was the Holy of Holies. That's where God's throne was, because God wanted to live among his people, and he would rule his people from the temple. Read 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 2. David wants to build a temple for God, and God says, no, you can't build it, your son will build it. King David rose to his feet and said, listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. So David had these plans that he was going to build this temple, and in the heart of it would be the Holy of Holies, where there would be the Ark of the Covenant, which would remind the people, God saved you. God made you his people. It's an Ark of Covenant. And in the Ark were the stone tablets with the commandments. This is how you're to live as God's people. And this was the footstool for God. This was where God would meet with his people. But it wasn't just so that he would rule over his people. The temple was also a symbol that God would rule over all the nations. Look at Isaiah 2, verse 2 and 3. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So the temple was to be a place where God's word would go out to the nations, so that the nations would begin to follow God's way. And the children of Israel, in fact, were to be an example of what it means to live under God's rule. And Isaiah looks forward to that day when people will stream to the temple where God rules and want to live according to his ways. So God speaks, God rules, and thirdly, God judges. We were looking at it last week. Habakkuk 2 paints a picture of a proud and ruthless and greedy empire that exploits people and defies God. And it's as if God says, "Okay, enough is enough. Be quiet. God is in his temple. Let all the earth be silent." And he pronounces judgment, and he pours out his judgment. And when you read Daniel 5, you have the story of the descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's having a great feast. And they brought the vessels from the temple, and they're getting drunk. And there's plenty of noise. And then suddenly there's a hand that writes on the wall, "You've been weighed and found wanting. The time is up. Judgment is coming." And chapter 5 ends with, "That night, Belshazzar died." God's judgment fell. It's as if God says to the clamor, "Quiet," and his judgment comes. The more we grasp the truth that God rules now, the more we can entrust to him the uncertainties of life. You don't know what's going to happen today, this afternoon. You've got your plans. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the week. And there may be things that you're uncertain of and that are troubling you. And the more we grasp that God is in charge, the more we can live by faith. The more we can experience his peace. It's okay. I don't need to know what's happening the rest of the day, the rest of the week, next year, 10 years' time. I don't need to know that. I can make plans, but I don't need to know. I don't need to be worried. God's in charge. And he's my Father. He's the God of the whole universe. And there are times when we need to come in silence before him. As I said earlier, I think Sunday morning is a time like that. We want to just come in silence and hear him speaking to us, just reminding us of things that maybe we've let slip. And sometimes we need to speak to ourselves and say, "Come on, soul, keep quiet. You've got all these thoughts going in your mind. Shut up. Listen to what God is saying." And we speak to our souls to be silent before the Lord. And so the psalmists tell us, "Be still and know that I am God. I'm in charge. You don't have to be. You don't have to control things. I'm in charge." So trust me. The second verse that we're looking at is the full display of God's glory then. You know, it's a wonderful thing to go to a theater and see an amazing play or a musical or a ballet. And I know that Phil and Carolina went to one in London when we were up there this last week to see Matilda. And you see the artistry that is there. You see the skill of the writer and the producer and the choreographer. It's all displayed before you. And the Christian has this amazing hope that one day when Jesus returns, we will see the full glory of God's creation. Everything will be filled with the glory of God. We'll be amazed at his wisdom and power and care and love. Well, what's the purpose of creation? Why did God create our world, our universe? What's the point of it? Well, the earth and the heavens were created to be the theater for displaying the glory of God. That's the purpose of creation. So that as we look around us, we'll be amazed at God's wisdom, his artistry, his power, his love, his faithfulness, his purity. We'll be amazed at his glory. It's the theater for displaying the glory of God. And we need to see the Garden of Eden as being like a temple. It was a garden temple where Adam and Eve were there, where God came and he walked with them, and where God's rule was followed, and they enjoyed the garden. Have a look at Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You see, God put them in the Garden of Eden, which was the temple where God would meet with them. They would enjoy this relationship with God. But he wanted them to move out of Eden and to fill the whole earth so that the whole earth would become a temple. The whole earth would be filled by human beings knowing God and praising God and enjoying his creation. But we know the story that they failed to do that. But that was God's intention, to move out from Eden and multiply and fill the earth. Psalm 19, verse 1 to 4. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for